Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
There you go. Survivor Specialist Phil and Will are back, and we are recapping episode number 4 of Survivor 47. Holy shit. What an episode.
Whoa, of TV. What a start. Just swearing right out the gate, Phil.
I mean, that's just the first thing that's going through my mind. I'm like extra elevated with my senses because we're going through the hurricane here in Florida. And like I come into this episode of Survivor and I'm just like, oh my God, is it just because my adrenaline's high anyway? Or was that one of the best pre-merge episodes we've ever had? I mean, that was wild.
I think I saw a comment here that said best episode of the new era. And it might have a case to be. I think I still think the Jesse episode in 43 is better.
46 had some wild.
46 had some good ones. But in terms of best pre-merge episode of the new era, I don't think it's close. I think this absolutely takes the cake. And there are so many things to break down here. I don't really know where to start, but this episode did so much correctly that I'd love to discuss with you.
Well, here's what I want to start with. Okay. I want to give a shout out to the editors here, because there's a lot of people who were calling Genevieve purple, and I'm going to go on a tirade later on in the night. Ooh, that's lightning. Hopefully that doesn't come close. I'm going to go on a tirade later on in this podcast, but I want to say this first to the editors. Well done, because I didn't really want any of the three guys to go. Like, I'm sitting there watching this and I'm going, shit, I really like them. And we're four episodes in. Saul is somebody who I didn't need to really like Saul by this point. Keyshawn, they could have easily under-edited because you have Rome and you have Teeny and you have so much going on over on that tribe. And then you have Rome himself. And for as villainous as Rome has been, God, he is gold on your TV screen. I didn't want any of them to go. And that was just like what made it, I think, even more compelling is as I sat there and watched this tribal council take place, I didn't actually know what I wanted to have happen. And Keyshawn goes and I'm bummed, but I'm happy that Saul and Rome are there. So that's what I'm taking away from it, is I think that's what made it so good, is I actually cared about all three of them.
Yeah, and I think Keyshawn has to be a big force in the first four episodes for this to feel as good and be as significant of a boot. And they did a good job setting up Keyshawn as a narrator of the tribe, specifically when it comes to strategy and like plotting and scheming. Like, he was kind of at the forefront of that. Teeny, you know a little bit more about her character. Obviously, you know where she stands with her alliances and socially, but like in terms of strategic gameplay, Keyshawn was the guy. And so for him to be the guy and then take the blind side here really makes it all come together. So I agree. We got to know all these people. We had to for this to feel good. I think the best part editing wise for this whole thing, and this might be getting a little too into the weeds too early, but guess what? We're the specialists. Everyone who's listening to us right after the episode, like, let's get into the weeds. Like, it was done so well. And I think it was pretty subtle. Hey, maybe everyone noticed this, but like, Keyshawn's putting this plan together to get out Rome and is explaining, okay, like, even if Teeny loses her vote, we still have it 2-2. And he's plotting with Genevieve, and Genevieve's nodding her head, but we aren't hearing from Genevieve. And then you get a confessional from Keyshawn saying, this would be so great, we can take out Rome. And then Rome and Genevieve are so tight that if Rome goes home, then Genevieve is really weak as well, and we can move together with Saul. It would be Saul, Teeny, and Keyshawn. Keyshawn has a confessional saying that. And this whole time, you just never hear from Genevieve. And kind of what you said, Phil, and what I hopped on with was that Keyshawn is like a trusty narrator of this season. So like, when he says Genevieve and Rome are tight, that's a red flag. And to me, that like sirens went off. Why are we not hearing from Genevieve? Then the way it's edited, they go to the journey. We get a whole segment where that's like stewing in the background. We have yet to hear from Genevieve, and then it comes up later. And I think that was so well done. The pacing of this, how the journey split, the strategic timing of it all. Again, a little in the weeds early to kick this off, but I really think that the storytelling of how that played out and Genevieve just lying there and kind of putting together that Keyshawn is running the show. Chef's kiss, beautifully done. Was so happy with how that was edited.
Yeah, and since we are getting into the weeds right away, I'll just say this. If you're watching, like the video, subscribe to the channel, share this, right? I have to do that because we are, like, this episode is one of the best episodes. And with what you're talking about there, we have like 150 people watching. I think we have 7 likes. So go do that. I want to say that off the bat. Get it out of the way. So now we can just talk about the episode for the rest of the time. This editing, this is where 90 minutes is gold. I know during season 45, some people were feeling like, I don't really know if we need 90 minutes. And then season 46, Survivor didn't know if they were going to get 90 minutes. So, you know, luckily we just had some chaotic gameplay from 46 and that worked. They knew they were getting 90 minutes for this season. And you could see it in this entire episode. You could feel that they knew they had 90 minutes to work with, because we are watching every tribe, it goes back and forth. We get 2 full scenes of each tribe except for blue. We only get 1 scene of blue. Then it's a challenge. Then we get a scene of yellow, a scene of red, then the journey, and then we get all the tribes again after. Except, well, they don't go back to yellow, but they go to blue and red after. It's so well edited. And so, like you're saying with the pacing, We're seeing a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it's an authentic beginning, middle, and end. There is a 3-act structure to the 90-minute episode of Survivor that was missing from the 60-minute episode of Survivor. You couldn't have these kinds of things happen because you were spending too much time. 60 minutes, you had to get the journey in, and you had to get the challenge in, and you had to get tribal council in. So what do we see? 2 tribes before that, and then it's over. It's too quick. They were able to take their time here And it played out beautifully. It really did. I mean, this was just like, you're right. The Genevieve Sully coming in as the assassin with her Alan from The Hangover confessional, of like the numbers going on in her head. I loved it. I mean, it was fantastic. And Skylander Gamer TV, thank you so much for the super chat. Great episode. But can we please stop taking people's votes? We will talk about the taking of votes for sure here. But yeah, this was just great, literally all around.
Yeah, fantastic. Something else on the editing too. And this was something right out at the gates. Basically, the Red Tribe comes back from Tribal Council, and then Rome tells the audience, I think this is before the song, or at least it's like the end of the first scene of this episode. Rome says, if we're going to Tribal Council again, Saul is 110% going home. And that 110. tells you two things immediately. One is either Red's not going to Tribal Council, or if they do, it's like 99% chance not going to be Saul, because it would never go that way. And that you're again, they're setting up Rome as this, he's so cocky, so arrogant, so aggressive. And even that confessional there, 110%, I know it's going to happen. They're setting you up for that downfall of Rome, but still Rome stands. Rome's defending. Hey. He's got a moat around the city.
Here's the deal.
Fending
right?
off all the attackers.
Rome wasn't built in a day. Rome didn't fall in a day either. Okay. It didn't fall in a day. And we need a buildup of Rome falling. Who comes out looking bad in this episode? Teeny's the only one going back to Tribal Council going, what the hell just happened, guys? What are
she
we doing?
She still looks pretty good this episode, though. I don't know if we can fault Teeny for too much. I know we'll get to the journey. I guess
Teeny's
we can talk about
spot, in my opinion, but I'm just saying she's the only one who's left out.
Yes. Let's talk about this vote. And maybe it's worth going back to last week, Phil. Maybe I can give myself a pat on the back, and maybe you can say, Hey, Will, you were right when we broke down last week. This episode completely, unequivocally proves that voting out Genevieve last week instead of Asia would have been the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? You can give me props on that?
I think you're right.
Because look what happened when you let Genevieve and Rome stay in the game. If you had just taken out Genevieve, you have a 4-1 alliance. Saul is like fully with you. Asia's fully with you. You got a rogue Rome with one steal vote. That's it. If you had gone, one of you goes on the journey still, I'm trying to do the math there, then it's still 2-2 and you're doing a revote, but Rome can't vote on a revote. So you send Rome anyway. Yeah. So your bases are covered here, people. That was a terrible misplay last week. And honestly, I think from Keyshawn's point of view, if he's looking back and he watches this episode, what did he do wrong? I don't know if him putting this master plan to take down Rome, or even him mentioning Genevieve's name as a decoy boot, which that's not that bad of a thing to do. Your mistake was last week. Your mistake was voting off Asia instead of voting off Genevieve. That was your big mistake.
No, you're 100% right. And just while we're giving you props,
should we bring up the fantasy team?
Can we just do this real quick? Hold on. I want to see. I think I have it here. Can everybody see this screen? This is Will's.
That's so small. Game. Who can see that?
You can't see that?
Zoom
well,
in, zoom in on it.
I can see it. You can see it if you're on a big desktop. Anyway, what the point is John Lovett eliminated, Asia Welch eliminated, TK Foster eliminated, Keyshawn Patel eliminated. Will is down to two people, and we are 4 episodes.
I mean, season. Caroline and Genevieve better watch out. I might have predicted the first 6 boots.
I'm starting to think,
I don't know. I might have the winner though. I might
first 6 boots.
I might have Genevieve. Genevieve's on my team. She's looking like, I mean, shot out of a cannon. And I agree with you. Genevieve has not been purple this season whatsoever.
Dude.
People overuse that. I mean, the amount of time we got her on the bench was like, that alone is like, if they were going out of their way to ignore a character, you don't give the sit out.
Can I bring this up
on the bench that much time?
Yeah, let me go on my quick rant about this, because I hate when people do this. I hate in every community when people throw this stuff around because it makes it useless. So Genevieve threw Michael Wilde, we'll go 6-for-6. You automatically wins. I honestly
think it's shoot the moon. It's the shoot the moon strategy in hearts. I'm going for a shoot the moon. If you get the first 6 boots,
at this point,
game over.
Block you. It's on us. You've actually outsmarted us. Mm-hmm. But I want to bring this up because people throw around purple way too much and we get way too sensitive about these edits. Genevieve had 2 confessionals in episode number 1, okay? The woman who Purple is named after, Purple Kelly, she went 10 episodes with 1 confessional. One in 10 episodes. That is who Purple Kelly, that is where Purple comes from. She had 5 for the entire season and 4 were in her boot episode, which was a quit. She had 1 confessional in 10 episodes. Stop throwing around Purple like this. Purple is what happens to Chelsea in Survivor Ghost Island. Survivor Ghost Island, Chelsea gets 4 confessionals in 12 episodes. Purple is what happened. I know we didn't know the term back then, but all the way back in Marquesas, when Zoe gets 5 confessionals in 9 episodes, that's Purple. Getting 2 confessionals in episode 1 and having 3 through 3 episodes, she's not being Purple. Let's stop the fake outrage and let's just be happy knowing that something could develop, because tonight she was the star of the show.
Total star of the show. She stole the season. And I think now that we're on Genevieve, I think this was great TV. We love when someone puts together a blindside and then someone circumvents that blindside with another blindside, which is what she did. Fun TV, entertaining. Do we like this move for Genevieve? I think we absolutely do, right? Because Keyshawn had said pretty much verbatim, once Rome's gone, Genevieve's a sitting duck. Something like that. So, I mean, she had to do this.
She had to do this. No, this was 100% the right move, because what it seemed like they were gearing towards is Saul goes home or Rome goes home, and Genevieve's going to be next no matter what. That's what it felt like. Because if they go with Saul, that means that Keyshawn and Tini feel good enough with Rome that they're going to want to move forward with Rome after this. If they go with Rome, now they're probably going to rather work with Saul, because Genevieve's probably going to be a little frustrated that Rome went home. Saul's not. Maybe they don't feel like they can trust Genevieve moving forward. Genevieve figured out what needed to happen. She took control of the game. And I appreciate that so much. Like, just like this is how you have to play Survivor. Be skeptical of every single thing you're hearing. Because the way we were coming into this episode with Genevieve was she's going to be told what to do and she's just going to kind of fall for it, right? Like, that's what, she's going to be a pushover on this tribe. No. And I think that Keyshawn and Tini took Genevieve for granted and assumed, yeah, she's chill. She'll be fine. Look, man, you want to play Survivor and you want to win Survivor. You can only be chill for so long. Your name comes up once. You should have this type of reaction, because in the new era, your name coming up could be all it takes for you to go home. Ask Jay Maya.
Yeah, I think for Genevieve, she actually, this is kind of where you want to be. You want to be chill, following orders, being told what to do up until it doesn't work for your game. Because I think you want to sit back for as long as you can. Like, if they were putting together a plan to get out, let's just say they roll with Saul, Genevieve's not saying anything. She's just going to go with the alliance. She's just going to, you know, keep going on her way. She's got Rome. She even said Rome's causing a lot of issues. Doesn't cause an issue to me. I get along with Rome. He's one of my, you know, most trustworthy alliance members. And so you just stay quiet. Don't do anything until your radar goes off. Wait a second. This might not be the best for me, this Rome blindside. That doesn't sound good. And she's so chill. I mean, when talking to Keyshawn, she's just like, yeah, sure. And just totally played him. So this was phenomenal Survivor play. And I think to talk about her edit and the Purple, I don't really need to get into the Purple of all of it, but like, I think because Genevieve's been so quiet this season over the, you know, the first 3 episodes, it makes this feel more like an assassin coming out of nowhere. Like, if Genevieve had been this prominent character and we're hearing all her thoughts and all her strategies every step of the way, this doesn't feel as out of the blue. And because it felt as such a, it felt like a sniper shot, just like, let's just snipe Keyshawn while we have this opportunity. And a lot of things had to go right here. Let's talk about,
well, first, let me throw this up because we got a super chat. Jayburn Aquatic, oh, Super King chat. Is going to win. Hashtag my winner pick. Got to throw that up. Whenever we get the super chat, we got to throw it up.
Of course. And Saul had a fantastic episode tonight. We can get into Saul, but yeah. I do want to talk about when we're at the crossroads of Genevieve has now told Rome, hey, it's you tonight. Like, you need to steal someone's vote, you know, and Tini now doesn't have a vote. So we know that the right move here for Rome is to steal Keyshawn's vote, because if you steal Saul's vote, it's not helping you as much, because you know Keyshawn is putting a hit out against you, basically. And you know that maybe Genevieve can get Saul. I mean, I don't know. I was confused on how there was a world where Saul wasn't going to vote with Genevieve's way to get Keyshawn, because I don't think he had a choice. If he votes for Rome, then it honestly puts a bigger target on him, because if Rome votes for Saul with 2 votes, and Saul votes for Rome and Genevieve votes for Keyshawn, Saul goes home.
That's
so
exactly
it was a defense. Like, there was no logically, even if he was like emotionally charged, I need to get Rome out of here. There was no logical play whatsoever for Saul ever to write Rome's name down. He had to write Keyshawn. And even if Rome was like, screw it, I want Saul gone, then it's a 2-2 tie, and then you figure it out from there. But yeah. Saul had to do that.
So here's what I will say. I mean, Will, you were out of practice for a while there, and now all of a sudden you're back with your complete specialist mindset. You explained that so crisply. Like, that was like,
it wasn't that crisp. It took me to
get
through it. But that's kind of what I was getting at, was like, Saul didn't have really a choice.
He didn't, but Saul looked like, here's what's funny about this episode between Saul and Genevieve. You have Saul, who looks like he's going to be the stubborn old man. And I know he's like 40 and he can beat the crap out of me. So, you know, when I say he's the old man, he's just the old man on this season. And then you have Genevieve, who kind of looks like this, oh, go with the flow, purple girl, like, you know, whatever. Like, that's it.
Don't say purple.
I got to throw that out there for all the haters who are going to be like, she was purple. These are 90-minute episodes. It's like, yeah, okay, they're 90-minute episodes. She's still got 3 confessionals. Okay, anyway. So here's my thing with this. Because of that, your expectation from watching 46 seasons of Survivor is that Saul is going to stubborn himself out of this game. He cannot. He tells Genevieve, I cannot vote for anybody but Rome tonight. Rome has to be the person who goes home. And if he does that, he votes himself out of the game. And what's crazy about the entire thing is, ultimately, it didn't matter tonight because Rome gets on board with the plan. He ends up stealing Keyshawn's vote and then votes for Keyshawn anyway. But I am very appreciative of Saul's gameplay here because it shows that he is thinking about this to win, not for personal vendettas. And if you start playing Survivor with personal vendettas in episode number 4, you're going to go home in episode number 5. You need to play the game the right way. And I think Saul played it the right way tonight, but he didn't have a choice. You're right. But he tried to push. And I think he understood from Genevieve, stop pushing or it's going to be you. And he said, okay, fine. So it worked. It really did.
And then from Rome's perspective, if he says, screw it, Genevieve, I know you're going to vote Keyshawn. And even if you somehow convince Saul to vote Keyshawn, I still want Saul out of here. He's my number one enemy. We've been feuding. I need him gone. He puts 2 votes onto Saul, and Keyshawn gets 2 votes. Now we're revoting, and Saul goes home. Rome did have the cards here because Saul doesn't vote in that situation. Keyshawn doesn't vote. Teeny doesn't have a vote. So in the revote, it's just Genevieve and Rome's 2 votes. I think Rome gets both his votes on the revote.
No, he only gets one. He only gets one on the revote.
How do you know?
I'm pretty sure that's all it is. I'm pretty sure Jeff has clarified that.
No, they remember they clarified it works through a revote. They had to clarify that in one of the iterations of a steal vote, because basically you're stealing a full vote from Keyshawn. I guess you could argue, well, if Keyshawn got
the person has to not be part of the tie. So if he stole Saul's vote and Saul got the votes, Saul wouldn't be allowed to vote at the revote. So he can't vote at the revote.
So he would still have stolen Keyshawn's vote, I think, just to make sure he had no votes on himself. But okay, that is interesting. So if their vote survives into the revote, you get to use it. If not, you don't. So it would have then just been a 1-1 tie on the revote. And then what happens?
Well, you know why this is the right move for Rome, though, and I really believe it is. There was a very important line that wasn't part of a confessional. So anybody who only can hear confessionals, there's a very important line here.
That's you.
He said to Genevieve, did Teeny know about this? And it was, and she said, yeah, she did. And that to Rome just set it off, because now Rome knows Teeny's closer with Keyshawn. Nobody's going to be closer with Rome's allies than Rome is going to be with Rome's allies. That's it. That's what that comes down to. And so for me, I think that Rome absolutely made the right move. And Teeny doesn't have teeth right now. Teeny is still in a good spot because I think ultimately Saul and Genevieve probably would want to work with her closer to the merge. I think she's okay. I think Saul and Teeny absolutely can go and vote for Rome at the next tribal council and force Genevieve's hand and say, you don't have a choice. But I don't necessarily know if this tribe is going to lose again. Maybe just don't put Rome on the puzzle. But I just think that Rome made the right decision here for his game. And also,
yeah, you don't want to keep Keyshawn. No. If you know Keyshawn's putting a plot secretly to go against you, at least Saul is like openly like, Rome, I'm voting for you. I voted for you last time. You're my enemy. Like, that's more okay than this fake ally of yours going behind your back. And I do think Teeny, I could see her very easily wiggling back into good graces with Rome, yes. Being like, Rome, I got back from the journey. Keyshawn put this plan together. I had no time. I had just lost my vote. I didn't want to ruffle anyone's feathers. I'm sorry, Rome. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't even vote. I wasn't even part of the plan. This was Keyshawn and Genevieve's plan. Genevieve was in on it. You should be looking at. Teeny can talk her way out of this.
Teeny's going to. And the other thing I wanted to say about this move, don't think Rome wasn't saying what the hell's going to play best for TV, man, because I'm playing on 50. Like, don't think that Rome wasn't thinking about what's going to play best for TV, and this does. Janelle Lightborn, Rome is out of advantages and made an enemy in Saul. He already had the enemy in Saul, but what do you think about the fact
that
he's out of advantages?
But Saul and Rome voted together. So, I mean, like I just said, and like you just said, Saul was already against you. So you either have now established some level of trust with Saul and you can work back, or you're right back at square one, and at least you're still in the game, and you've eliminated someone who was going behind your back trying to eliminate you. So, I mean, Rome was always like we're not saying Rome's playing perfect survivor by any means, but this was the right move to get rid of Keyshawn and keep Saul.
Absolutely. 100%.
But yeah, no advantages for Rome. I think that he can't be as aggressive because he doesn't have all these toys and tools to overpower people with. But I wouldn't be shocked if he finds something else soon. We got to talk about this challenge, and I'm almost convinced this was a challenge throw. I don't know about you. I'm sure that was going through a lot of people's heads here, and I know they didn't talk about, they did not bring it up on the show, and I think we can reason out why after seeing the episode in its entirety and the narrative and how it came together so beautifully. You didn't need this extra layer added of we were going to throw the challenge, and I think it kind of convolutes things. This, to me, was an absolute challenge throw.
No, I'm going to say this right now. Rome just sucks at puzzles. That's it. Rome never should have done the puzzle, but what Rome has a lot of confidence in is Rome. And Rome said, I can do this puzzle. We didn't win it last time anyway, so why don't I give it a try? Because he didn't do the puzzle last time. Remember, it was Asia and it was Keyshawn. So he said, I'll do the puzzle this time. And he goes and does the puzzle. Did he do the puzzle? Me and Rome did the same amount of that puzzle. And I was sitting here in Florida, and that's it. So I don't think this was a challenge throw at all. I just think Rome sucks at puzzles.
That might be true, but there are too many flags going off here for me that this feels like it was thrown. One is that it's Rome and Genevieve doing it together, and you know they're a partnership strategically. And usually when you see, if there's any time when a tribe is trying to throw a challenge, they try to put people that are in on it in the final position. So the fact that both of them are together is already an indicator, a little bit of evidence that they could have been throwing the challenge. Another piece of evidence is that Rome did not seem that frustrated. Like, even on the mat, he was smiling and laughing, something that TK would not have been okay with if they were on the same tribe. He was very lighthearted and jovial almost when he just went through one of the most embarrassing challenge losses ever. And I can almost see in the back of Rome's head being like, I have to pretend I really sucked because I did not want to win this challenge. So that's another piece of evidence. Another piece of evidence is that Rome is sitting down, trying each piece one by one. It's like he's not even making any attempt. He's rotating the pieces. Why isn't Genevieve also trying? Also, if you were going piece by piece over that period of time, you would have found at least one piece. This reminded me of Chris Underwood throwing the challenge in Edge of Extinction with the combo locks, where he keeps going like this. Like, he's like honestly overdoing it. And I'm curious what Rome has to say. He did not seem flustered. He did not seem frustrated. Genevieve, if I'm Genevieve and Rome is sitting there and he hasn't gotten a piece, I'll be like, Rome, get your ass up. I'm going to start and try to do this like right now. So to me, and think about all the reasons why Rome would throw a challenge in this situation. He he wants Saul gone more than anything. He knows that if Saul finds an idol, he's potentially screwed. And he knows that he has a seal vote and can take Saul's vote. So he can't play shot in the dark. And he even has a confessional saying this much, where he's like, if we go to tribal council, 110% Saul goes home. So there are just so many indicators here to me that this was a thrown challenge. We've never seen anyone perform this badly in a puzzle ever in 47 seasons of the show. And he's sitting there on his ass, not moving quickly, just piece by piece, haphazardly rotating it, making no effort to solve that puzzle.
I just think he sucked, man. I just think he sucked at him. I do not buy that he threw this challenge. I buy that Rome was seriously this bad at puzzles. And I buy that Genevieve isn't the type of person. She says, I'm an alpha woman and I can be bossy and whatever. I just don't buy that. I just think this played out fair and square. I really do.
And I've there's been plenty of times in Survivor history where tribes have thrown challenges and they have not told the audience.
Mr. Manny, though, come on. You can't tell me Rome being the showman he is wouldn't play up this throw.
He did. He totally did. The episode didn't show it. The producers of the episode don't want you to know. Trust me, he had confessionals all over it. This is what happened in Ghost Island. They did not air it. But when Malolo broke their curse, that's the story they wanted. They wanted to burn the orange flag so that the curse was broken. Guess what? Malolo wins their first immunity challenge. Guess what? Dominic threw that challenge to get Bradley out. They don't tell you that. You don't get the confessional from Dom because that's not as compelling of a narrative as breaking a curse on a season with the slogan, reverse the curse. Mm-hmm. So they want to tell the story they want to tell. And this was already compelling enough. We already had so many moving parts and lost votes and potential ties and shots in the dark. Do we really want to throw in a captain? We want to throw in a challenge throw, but here is Captain Obvious. Jeff got one piece in the pro, no problem. See, look how long. That's more evidence to my argument. Has Rome been on Twitter? Has he? I'm not on Twitter. Everyone knows I do not follow social media at all. I just kind of watch the episode.
I will say I'm on here refreshing. And Dalton Ross with the weakest headline of all time. Genevieve parentheses who pulls off whatever. And it's like, stop with the narrative. Stop pushing the fake narrative bullshit. It's so annoying. She's not who. Genevieve has been on this season. If you can't see that, don't recap Survivor. My God, it's so crazy how people just, they fall into whatever the narrative is.
Everyone just jumps on saying the same thing.
Oh, it's so stupid. But anyway,
that's Genevieve being a little under the radar.
I did not practice puzzles with a crying face.
Yeah, maybe he's keeping under wraps because he knows production admitted it.
I don't know.
We'll have to see.
We'll have to see what happens. I'm sure whenever Rome gets out of this game, I'm sure he's going to spill his guts. Before we move off of this tribe and actually talk about somebody else, since we've now been here for 30 minutes, Keyshawn going home. This is actually a pretty big loss. I think Keyshawn brought it, man. I feel like Keyshawn was a really good player. I'm not even joking. At like 8:45, my wife goes, wow, I really like him. And I was like, I think he's going to win this season. And now I'm sitting here at 10:03 and he's not even on the season anymore. But I feel like Keyshawn was a really good casting choice. I feel he's a unique player. And just ended up, man, you get on a tribe with Rome, same thing with Asia. Like sometimes it just doesn't work out for you. I think this is a bummer that we lost him. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, Rome is steamrolling through his tribe. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
It is.
Again, I mean, Keyshawn tossing out Genevieve's name as weakness. I honestly don't even think that's really it. I think that's a nice, like, neat kind of bow for us as an audience where it's, like, very clean point A to point B. This is what happened. You could even tell from one of Genevieve's comments when Teenie got back, and she's like, what's this plan? What happened? And Genevieve just says, I was just sitting there. Keyshawn came up with the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You can feel that sentiment coming from her before she even knows that Keyshawn had previously thrown her name out as a decoy to the guy you know you're voting for anyway. I know people freak out over the decoy thing. I almost look at it kind of like how I know you and Drew talked about this, or at least Drew said it. Like if you get a vote from somebody, kind of how Sue got a vote from Kyle, and you go into revenge mode and hold it against them and go crazy. And like, that's not a sign of like a level-headed strategic player. I kind of feel the same way about the decoy thing. And hey, maybe the decoy thing is a little bit more dangerous because you are going into vote, but you don't know where the votes are going to go. Whereas like the Sue Kyle thing, you didn't go home. So move on. Yeah. But I think that's a little overblown. And I imagine seeing how Genevieve so smoothly pulled this off, that she was having thoughts that Keyshawn's doing a little too much. And then the comment from Rome that Keyshawn tossed her name out was just kind of a easy way for the audience to grasp onto like exactly a finite reason. But I'm sure that was brewing for a while.
Yeah, I could see that. I think if Genevieve is feeling like, okay, we're in this alliance, and she starts hearing that her name's being the one that's thrown around, well, that means that you're fourth in that alliance. You don't want to be fourth in an alliance of four like that. And it's too early in the game to put all your eggs in a basket like that. So I think you're right. I think, this probably was brewing a little bit more. And then she hears that and she says, why am I the expendable one? Why am I the go ahead, Saul, throw your vote at me? Like, that's not the game. No way. I'm not doing that. I am going to miss Keyshawn though. I feel like Keyshawn was good. Let's talk about some other tribes. Let's talk about yellow first, because I feel like blue had a little bit more going on. So let's do yellow, because I think it'll be a little bit quicker.
I thought yellow was going to tribal council.
No, I'm saying like it wasn't as important, but I do agree with you. What do you think about Sam's rapping skills?
Maybe more food and sleep, and he's a little bit better. I don't want to judge him on a performance that where he's not fully fed and ready to go. I mean, he had some good rhymes, but he had some like repetition and kind of bouncing all over. I think he can. There's room to improve.
I don't think Wendell would have approved. I think Chris Noble probably was better than this. I'm going to be honest.
Chris Noble was pretty good. That's a high bar right there.
Probably was. So we have the Breadwinner Alliance. That's actually the thing that came out of this. And what happens with the Breadwinner Alliance is the women say that. And then Sierra, I don't know if it was a slip up or if it was purposeful, but she says to Andy, we call ourselves the Breadwinner Alliance. Or like that's what Annika is calling it, is the Breadwinner Alliance. And then Andy goes back and he tells Sam that. And then Sam confronts Sierra about that. And we literally have a jealous boyfriend moment of, well, you like, we're not a thing, but like, why'd you hook up with him instead of like, I don't understand. You know, we wanted the exclusive here. So I know that they're not like dating, but it sure felt like that energy here. What was your takeaway from this? Is Sierra and Sam bad blood in the water, or is this going to be able to blow over? Sierra still wants to vote Andy out first. I don't get this. Like, what's happening?
See, I took this as not as much about Sierra and Sam not being cool with each other, and more that this whole segment and everything really we spent with the Yellow Tribe is highlighting Andy's sloppiness, whether it's his, you know, shot in the dark that's fumbling under the tent and going, you know, out of his bag.
Which I thought Sierra had.
Yeah, I thought Sierra had that too. Then I'm like, did something happen? But it's anyway. They didn't make that clear, and I think that's kind of the intent, where it's like, where is Andy shot in the dark? What is going on with Andy? And that this was about his sloppiness, because he has this conversation with Sierra, and Sierra's like, hey, don't tell anybody about this. And then Andy immediately breaks that trust with Sierra. And I don't think Sierra thought twice, like, oh, I need to – if I tell Andy that the girls are calling themselves the Breadwinners – and I don't tell Sam that this will be an issue. I don't think she was even thinking that way, because that would be an absurd thing. I'm having a talk with supposedly our alliance member. And yeah, I mentioned to one of you, like, I don't know, like kind of just in passing that we call ourselves the Breadwinners. And because I didn't tell you, you're going to freak out. Like, I don't think there's anything really going on with that part of it. But I think it let Sierra know that I just told some, we just had like a very intimate private conversation, her and Andy. Mm-hmm. And instantly Andy goes to Sam, says something about it. And now that's causing her issues with Sam. Sam's like, what the hell? Why didn't you tell me that? And she's like, chill, it was nothing, which it is. And I think they're fine. But Sierra's going, wow, I cannot work with Andy anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's going to push Sierra into thinking we need Andy out instead of getting one of the women out. Obviously, this is bad news for Sam, because Sam knows that if there's four people on that tribe and Andy's gone, he's the fourth of four.
Yes, absolutely. And the best he can do is force a 2-2 tie if he's got Sierra on his side. So that doesn't matter. I did think this was weird how like they were pushing at each other a little bit. Rachel thinks that she's playing great Survivor right now, which has me a little worried for Rachel. She thinks things are going really well, which we heard Rome say that it was under 10%. you know, Saul was going to go home and then Saul doesn't. Normally when you get these things, like, it doesn't work out that way. But I just thought that that was, it was an interesting storyline for a tribe that didn't go to tribal council. I guess that's really what my big take.
And I thought they were, because I thought this was going to be a pretty contentious vote where it's like, is Andy going to go or is Annika going to go? I thought that's where we were heading this episode. And then Sam has his idol. If he is it going to be like, fine, Sam had the opportunity to be like, all right, Sierra, let's just vote out Andy. You're right. And then go against Sierra, play the idol on Andy, and then take out, you know, Annika or Rachel. That I thought was kind of where we were going. Again, the blue tribe doesn't seem like they're going. I said that last week. I don't think there's enough to grab onto there. It seems like it's a pretty easy Kyle boot, but we're supposed to really like Kyle. So I don't really know what's going on with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of my vibe on yellow.
Yeah. I yellow is the one to me where I feel like if they go to tribal, there's going to be a lot of like false alarms, and then Annika will go home. I still feel like Annika is in the bad position there, because tonight we saw when Genevieve said to Rome, think logically, what makes the most sense for our game? Ultimately, he played with somebody he doesn't like to move further in the game. And I think that that's what Sam and Sierra will have that conversation of, which will be, think logically, those two women are never going to separate. If you actually want to move forward in the game, this is Sam talking to Sierra, with me, you need to get rid of one of them now, because there's no other chance. The best we can do is a 2-2 split. So I think that that's going to be a lot of like, whoa, what's going to happen? And then we're all going to sit here and go, okay, Annika went home. That's fine. Got it. Whatever. But, you know, let's jump to blue.
Blue, I hate, this is my favorite iteration of fake blood on the show, because they didn't call it fake blood, and that's why.
It was just
it was just paint, and it's red. You could take it as blood. It's way too bright to be blood, especially when it splatters like that. I like that it's a mess and you have to clean up the mess. This worked great. When they did fake blood the first time, they actually did it twice in season 42. I believe. And that was the only other times we've seen fake blood where it was like, you could throw it on yourself to cover up the time.
Yeah, like rubbing it on his.
Yeah. And that was like silly and goofy. And it's literally called fake blood. And it's like, why would you do that? Why not just use the mud? And then the second time was like caught red handed it was caught red handed. It was, maybe they didn't call it blood that time, but that was like, it felt weird. They were trying to get someone covered in blood. And this is a little bit similar. But I like this more. This was just a huge mess, and you have to clean it up, and it's a pain to clean up, and Sue thought she had it. And then actually, the funniest part of it was that the paint that was on her chin actually dried, and it dried a little bit of a darker color. And maybe like and when a cut is more fresh, it's brighter red. So if it had just happened, it actually looked like a cut on her face, despite just being like really bright red paint. Mm-hmm. So that worked out great. And then she had it all over her fingertips and hands and like, what?
It was on her legs. Like, no, I thought this was great. I mean, because also Sue has to chop this down. And I'm saying to myself, man, she's going to get this that easy after all these other guys had to run around and dig up box after box after box. And then when that thing fell and splattered everywhere, I said, oh shit, this is awesome. Like, I like that, because by the time you have a second to think about it, do I want to take the risk? It's too late. You're not worried about the risk until you realize, oh, it's not just the idol that fell. Now there's red paint everywhere. And what I thought was really funny is they literally put the entire clue in red paint. The entire clue. There was no way to take the clue out without being covered in red paint. And I also love Michael Wilde here. I bit my lip is a great excuse for why there's blood in your hair.
Yeah. And then and then she says, I was just playing with the machete. This from bar 6578. That is like, that line is like playing with it. Like, what? And you cut your chin and your hands and your fingernails? Like, what?
Yeah.
But no, it kind of went over the same way it did in 42. I think it was Drea who had to get the red. And then there's a little bit on her arm. And then Tori was like, where'd the red paint come from?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, the tribe flag something. And she's like, we don't have a tribe flag. We haven't done that. So, but it doesn't really, I don't know. If these were super fans, they could be like, I remember that from season 42. I think she has an idol and it's red paint. It's the red paint idol. I was kind of half expecting that.
I'm going to be honest. I think people probably caught on. We were talking about earlier how they're telling the story they want. We have Mr. Banny saying Sue also said she was 45 tonight. I don't think anybody's buying that Sue is 45. They probably are assuming she's a little bit older than that. But then at the same time, like, we're not seeing people's negative reactions to anything Sue is saying or doing. And maybe that's just the story they want to tell us early on. Like, maybe Sue is becoming that fan favorite who's going to make a deep run but not make final tribal, so not really be held accountable for some of her lies and some of her actions in the game. Because the red paint thing, it did. It's like, Tiana's not stupid and Caroline's not stupid. Now, maybe Caroline doesn't want to blow up Sue's game because they're working together. But we also never saw a confessional afterwards, or we never saw a conversation afterwards between Caroline and Sue, which I thought was interesting. So
yeah,
they might be hiding her a little bit.
That was a big omission, was like, why didn't we hear Caroline's reaction to her number one ally getting caught with blood on her chin and in her fingertips and hands? And that's kind of why I'm more leaning that this tribe doesn't go to tribal again before the merge, or we have a new brand new twist coming next week. I mean, you'd want to think it's something to do with the tribes, but then it wouldn't be brand new. Like, it can't just be a tribe swap. Mm-hmm. Now it can be a mechanism in which the tribes are swapped or tribes are formed. That could, Jeff could, I mean, Jeff likes using first time ever, you know, whenever he can shoehorn it in there. So it's not the first ever tribe swap, but it's the first time we're going to do it this specific way. Maybe it's something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what we're gonna be looking at. Cause also maybe it's just like not a mega twist. I mean, we do see a lot where Jeff
doesn't like, he say it's like a mega twist, or maybe it's just what he says, something that's like hyping this twist up. And it's the first thing in the preview. I don't think this is going to be like, oh, you can sit out for Rice or something.
I mean, I don't think it'll be that, but I just think like maybe it's not the biggest.
Well, I don't think it's that. I'm just saying like it's not going to be like
I think it'll be a little bit bigger than that, but I don't know if this is going to be a game changing twist that we're all going to sit there going, oh my God, like, let's
talk. I'm about to listen.
An hour. Oh, you're listening to it. You're watching it. Well, while you do that, I want to say this. Let me do a quick plug.
And it's the first
thing. What does he say? You cut out.
We got a brand new Survivor twist. And it's the first thing that they're showing in the teaser. Now, they're always going to tease a new twist. But it feels like it's a little bit more than just something like small.
I don't know.
I like that. Two tribes in the new era. That would be a first.
It's not going to be.
That would be great. But thank you, Zach. I like the optimism.
I like the optimism. I know Captain Obvious says the same thing, goes down to two tribes of seven. I don't see it. And that's not a new twist, really. I mean, I know it's in the new era. Anyway, so yeah, I don't know. How do we get onto that subject? What the hell just happened? What were we talking about with the blue tribe?
Well, like we were talking about, I was saying the blue tribe. To me, it seems like we're just not getting enough from them in their dynamics to show me where everyone is, and that, like, it didn't feel like they were going to tribal this episode. We didn't hear from a lot. I mean, we'd have to get a lot of them next episode for them to go to tribal. And that led me to believe these tribes might not even be the same next episode, because we do have a brand new Survivor twist.
I do think Yellow's going to go. If you, and again, I'm looking at confessionals, so everybody get mad at me, but I do think, there's only two colors of the challenge. Maybe that's what I mean.
I got to rewatch this.
I don't know. But anyway, what I was
oftentimes is, they'll set up a fake challenge. Yeah, it's just yellow versus blue, and it looks to be, hold on, let's really break this down. It doesn't look like a fake challenge. This looks like a real challenge.
They've set up real challenges before, though, in the background, where, and then they've
I know, but what they'll do is they'll just take props from old challenges and just fill space. What I'm saying is, from this aerial shot, this is a major build. These pieces haven't been used before. This is a full-on two-tribe challenge.
The twist is that they wouldn't merge at 14.
I think that's the twist. I think you're good, because it is mergatory. Thank you, Zach, for
maybe. I think Zach called that out. I think you're right, though. I think it's gonna be,
and it's a big. You can tell it's big. Like, you can tell this is a 1, 2, 3. Like, I already am counting 5 sections of this, and you can tell it's at a big location. It feels like the mergatory challenge.
It probably is, and that's the twist, right? Is that they're gonna do the mergatory of 7 versus 7, and maybe like, there is no sit out. That's like the twist, is that it's the biggest thing. I don't know. Maybe whoever wins it, they do go to tribe. I don't know.
So maybe it's a swap to two tribes of seven, two tribal councils. They each vote someone off. Then we're down to 12. That's your merge tribe.
Yeah, and they call this the merge and then separate them immediately because it's not. Like, maybe that's what they do it.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's an early merge, I'm done. That's what Mr. Manny says. Well, Mr. Manny, this might be the last episode you're with us because that is a full-blown big challenge, and they will not show a challenge that's for the future and use that to trick the contestants. Yes. It's always taking parts from old challenges. The fact this is even on TV and you can see the three mats are there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. Can I do a quick plug for challenges real quick with Idle Plays? Because we have the Idle Plays link. So if you think this is really fast, if you think Rome sucked at that puzzle tonight and you think you could do better, we have an affiliation with Idle Plays this season. So go ahead and click the link in the description of this video and go get yourself a puzzle. And why don't you record yourself making that puzzle and show Rome how it's done. And you can do it in your second or third take. It doesn't have to be your first one, but he'll never know. And pretend it's your first one. But go ahead. Idle Plays. The link is down there. Make sure you use our link. We get a little bit of like a, yay, you guys did it. And it's good. It's Russell Muscle TV. He makes the puzzles. I have a couple of them. They're fun. And you can prove that you're better than Rome at this. I'm going to be doing predictions and power rankings on Monday night at 9 with Bruce from 45. So that's where I'm going there. So I just wanted to say, like, hopefully by that time, I mean, this is the latest I'm doing a predictions in a long time. Hopefully by that time, we actually have the answer to what this twist is. I mean, Survivor doesn't do a very good job of keeping it hidden anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it is a new twist. I don't think it's going to be as simple as we're doing the mergatory early. It seems like, I mean, we might, it looks like we're going to two groups of seven, and hey, that might just be for the challenge, but then they could split up after that. But that's kind of what happens. No, that happens anyway.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. That's what happens at final 10 or final 12 later.
Yeah.
Because usually the mergatory is there's 13, you get two tribes of, you know, teams of six, essentially. One's immune, one's not, but they all go to tribal council to vote. One person goes and does something on an island with an hourglass and comes back, and it's still 13 people at tribal council. This would be, I don't even know what you'd call it, but I mean, it's like basically a tribe swap mixed in with the mergatory twist.
Yeah, what I'm curious is what's actually going to be new about it. Is it just going to be a simple twist on something, or is it going to be fully new? I feel like it's going to be a simple twist on something that makes it new, but it's not going to feel super new to us.
I mean, going ending the pre-merge with 14 people in the game, that's pretty huge.
That's a lot of people.
That's like, that's, we have not seen
four people go home and we're going to already be merging. That's a lot of people. That's a good amount.
Yeah. We gotta talk to Rome.
We'll figure it out.
I gotta see if he threw this challenge because
he did not.
Just so many things pointing to a challenge. I mean, did you see the way he was? Like, there was no urgency.
There was no reason. Rome should never be doing the puzzle. That's what I take away from this.
Even if you're bad at puzzles, you would urgently try to solve it.
Yeah,
you would get one piece. This is like. And especially with Rome, Rome's not the most subtle guy. Let's just say that much, okay? Mm-hmm. And like when we saw him last week talking to Saul about you're good, like you don't even need to play your shot in the dark, stuff like that. And Saul's just seeing right through it because he's not subtle enough. This is like if Rome were going to throw a challenge, it's not like he got five or six pieces or seven or eight pieces. It's like, Rome did not put a single piece in. Like the
least, I think he's just bad.
Challenge throw ever.
I just think he's bad. Anyway,
gotta hear from Rome.
Somebody asked us this, and I want to clarify it. So, did Keyshawn lose his vote or no?
Keyshawn had his vote taken.
So we're not counting that as losing it, right? Because it was stolen.
Oh, that's, I think we said,
I feel like we clarified that.
We clarified that if you go to the booth, wait, did he go to the booth?
No, he didn't.
I think it's not a loss.
Yeah, that's what we clarified. I think even with a steal of vote,
you have to go to the booth and it says you cannot vote. That is a loss.
Teenie lost her vote. Teenie did not.
Teenie did lose her vote. Oh, should we talk about that?
Yeah. So let's talk about this journey. What do you think about how this went down and the forced hands?
Jeff called it a journey. It's the first time we've had a journey called The Journey by Jeff this season. Yes, we're really is. Being nitty gritty. I actually kind of like this. I think the better way to do it, which is maybe not the better, the better way to do it, not for the TV show with the prisoner dilemma, is you need to offer someone a potential of not losing their vote. Because this was like, okay, someone's going to agree to it. Because if none of you agree, you're all losing your votes. There needs to be some outcome in which someone benefits from hurting the group. And that is not the case. That's how a prisoner's dilemma works, where it's like, are you going to help yourself? Mm-hmm. Or you could have a better outcome if you help the group. The other person will also benefit. But you're basically only
benefiting if you hurt yourself.
Well, the scenario, if someone didn't volunteer to lose their vote, was them all losing their votes anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, at the last second, someone's going to say, screw it, because I want, like what Teeny said is absolutely right. I'm going to lose my vote anyway. I might as well get an advantage for it. And yeah, it sucks that you're losing your vote instead of the two other people, but that's the wrong way to look at it. Because if you don't take action, then you've just lost your vote anyway, and you're not getting an advantage. So you have to look at it from those outcomes. If I don't give in, I lose my vote, no advantage. If I do give in, I lose my vote, I get an advantage. So it's absolutely the right move to give in. And that's why I think it would be more interesting if it was like, if no one volunteers, you're going to pull out of a bag and two out of three will lose their vote. And that's probably better gameplay and decision-wise, dilemma-wise for TV. That's way too convoluted and probably makes it boring. I'm sure that was like discussed as a way to do this type of game. I will say that for all these journeys in the new era, like, kudos to the producers for not doing the same exact game every single time. We've seen so many varieties of this, like, choose your path, like, make a deal, go against it, prisoner dilemma style things. Like, we had the ship wheel, we've had boxes, we've had bags, we've had the one with Jelinski last season as a one-off was actually like very fun, where someone's forced to lie. And here, this was, again, this is like a brand new iteration of one of these little mini games on the journey. So I know everyone's not a fan of journeys and losing votes, but at least they're keeping it fresh. And actually, I actually did not mind this one. I thought Teeny made the right play here. It didn't change the vote all that much, because if Teeny has her vote here, it's still going to be a 2-2-1 vote, and it wouldn't have mattered.
I mean, I don't know.
Unless maybe Saul can throw a vote on Rome if
she's also voting, because then you do feel like you're going. I don't know. But my biggest thing, and like, look, this one probably worked out better than others. I just hate the idea of either one of you lose your vote or you all lose your vote. It's like, how about an opportunity where nobody loses their vote? Like, I don't like watching people lose their votes. I think it's ruining Survivor. Me and Blake did a whole podcast about it last season, where we said losing votes is making lost drama, because you're getting situations like the Banu situation last year, where it's like, he didn't have a vote, so he can't even save himself. Like, let the players be able to save themselves. So I don't like that the alternative, like, what you are paying is you are always paying with your vote. I think that's stupid, because the votes are what are important. And like Mike Bloom put out a great tweet tonight about, you know, you have a steal a vote, you have a shot in the dark, you have a lost vote, you have whatever it was. He like listed everything that was going on in this episode. And it's like, but the most important thing there isn't the lost vote, because like you just said, this might not have even changed the outcome of this tribal council, whether Teeny had her vote or not. And I think Survivor has just gotten so obsessed with the lost vote idea. And when you're putting it in a position where one or three people are losing a vote, there's never a situation where it's zero. Why does production want lost votes? Like, I think that is a stupid way of approaching this. And I think they got to chill out with it, because it has gotten stupid. And it's not fun from an audience perspective, right? Like, as an audience, I want to watch the people go up and vote people out and then talk about, did they make the right decision? I don't, half the time you don't even know who has a vote, who doesn't have a vote anymore. I can't remember what's going on with this. It's not fun from an audience perspective. And to a normal viewer, not somebody who obsesses with it all the time, to a normal viewer, it literally is not what you want to be tuning in for. So I think it's dumb.
Yeah, I have not seen this tweet, but the way you described it might be this sentiment that look at how many varieties of ways there are to lose your vote or not vote in the new era of Survivor, where if you play your shot in the dark, you are sacrificing your ability to vote. If you go on a journey, there are many circumstances where you can't vote. If you get a beware advantage, you cannot vote until you complete a task. There are steal votes in the game. Someone can steal your vote. So there are four examples right there of ways that you can lose your vote. And then on the flip side of that, I think this is probably more to your point, or maybe more of like how I think maybe Survivor should look at things, is you kind of want to treat it like an economy. And if you're removing all these votes for the game, then you should be adding more votes into the game somehow in some way.
I know Survivor, it just keeps it. It keeps
Survivor. No, steal a vote works in that regard where it's like, there's still the same total number of votes at tribal. It's just depending on who has them. And hey, that's a pretty powerful advantage. We've seen people use it correctly. We've seen people use it incorrectly. This was absolutely well played on, you know, well played by Rome tonight. Not that he needed it again. Like if Keyshawn just writes Rome's name down, Rome keeps his steal a vote. Rome, Saul, and Genevieve all write down Keyshawn, then it's just a 3-1 vote, and it wasn't even necessary. But I think Rome playing it was kind of inking the deal with Saul to write, you know, to write Keyshawn's name and for Genevieve, like for them to go forward with the plan. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Tonight's journey, I don't know why. I thought this one was interesting and that like maybe it is okay that we knew the right decision for all of them was to say, fine, like I'll lose my vote. And if that is the case for all of them, which one of them is going to do it and how is that going to play out? And I did find that whole interaction like very fascinating.
Yeah.
So
and they had the hourglass taken down, so they couldn't really think about it. It was just
better version of an hourglass, we can give it that. Well,
that's for sure. Although it would have been funny if one of them just smashed it. Like, what if they smash it? Do they just get to start over?
They
like,
reverse time.
They reverse time. That's how that was.
Yeah, no, this was fun. This was fun. I like knowing kind of like, all right, someone has to do it. Who's going to fall in? And I actually thought at some point Caroline was realizing it. Like, I should probably just do this because Caroline's probably
was close. Yeah, I think she was close.
It seemed like she was close. And it almost seemed like Caroline was going to be like, fine, I'll do it. And then Teeny at the last second jumped right in and kind of like cut her off and interrupted her. I think that was, I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. A lot of lost votes. You want players to have agency and
they
power.
They just want the lost votes away. That's what
I think that's a lot of the new era and Jeff being like, this is the hardest game. Like, we're going to take your vote. Like, that's part of why this game is difficult. And you have to watch out. You have to beware. This game is faster, harder, better. Phil, we got to jam-pack it in 26 days. You got to keep up. You got to take risks. The monster's coming, baby. I mean, that's
fake yawning, and now the more you explain it, the more I'm gonna real yawn.
I mean, that's it. That's why it's in the game. Yeah. I don't know if it provides that. I mean, there have been, I think, I mean, when I was doing my new era rewatch on Patreon, I think there were like two votes that actually changed by someone losing their vote over like five seasons.
Yeah, it's not much. No. Speaking of Patreon. Do we have anything else you want to talk about on this episode? Is there anything else in there, or should we?
I think that's like a nice, we tight did a nice hour right there. Cool. Yeah.
So a couple things before I even get into Patreon. Tomorrow, Blake and I will be doing Digging Deeper at noon. Don't know what our topic exactly will be yet, but we'll be here at noon. And then on Friday, not tomorrow, because you know I might have insider knowledge of the fact that the show is on, but I don't have insider knowledge that there's two episodes on premiere week. We'll be doing a House of Villains recap on Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Me and Blake, first two episodes, because the premiere is tonight, and then tomorrow, episode number two of House of Villains airs. So instead of doing an episode tomorrow and an episode Friday, we're just going to do one on Friday, covering both episodes. So adding a new show to the
Everybody
channel.
Everybody watch House of Villains. Everybody.
That show, Will?
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Good. Well, so we're going to be doing that, Digging Deeper tomorrow. I'm back on Monday with Bruce at 9 p.m. And then also Patreon, patreon.com/thespecialist.
Richard Hatch is on House of Villains, everybody. Jay Byrne Aquatic. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. If you're a Survivor fan, you want to see the OG back on your screen since All-Stars. I mean, Here it is.
And if you haven't seen that season, because you don't go back and watch the old seasons, every season matters is the biggest thing that we're doing here over on the Patreon for our top tier patrons. We just got to Guatemala. So our Guatemala first episode actually dropped today. Blake and I tomorrow have a casting perspective episode dropping where we talk all about Jeff's take on Survivor players going and playing other games. Ooh, that was fun. And it's fun to read between the lines of what Jeff was saying. I am up to Australian Survivor 2018, where Jairo D. Garcia here, just keeps talking about how the best episode is coming up. Well, that's going to be on Friday. And then John and I are doing horror movies this month. If you haven't checked out our top 10 underrated horror movies, we put out a podcast on the channel last week. We got $5 Tuesdays for that. Whole bunch of stuff going over there on the Patreon. This is a great season of Survivor so far. I'm really digging it, really into what I'm watching on my screen. Hope you all are too. If you want more content, become a patron. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and I'll see you tomorrow at noon with Blake for Digging Deeper.
See ya.